How many courts of appeals are there in the United States?
11 now.
11. In this 10th Circuit, is it true we have 7 Democrats and 5 Republicans?
Currently?
Yeah.
That's one of the interesting things about the federal court system that I love. Some people have a problem with the political process of picking people when the president's party gets to
Right.
pick the current one. But it goes back and forth so much. And it's just who takes. I took senior status. I had friends try to convince me not to take senior status on my birthday when I turned 65, which is when I was eligible, because it was right before an election. They said, "What if a Republican gets in and you'll be replaced by a Republican?" And I said, "I believe in the system." And the system, because we have lifetime appointments, it really takes a lot of the politics out of it because you're not subject to, unlike state court, we have to run for election. Being a judge, you're not subject to politics. You may have views about things, but you're really deciding the law. And I was replaced by a Republican, Jerome Holmes in Oklahoma City, who happens to be black, which I thought was great. He's a very moderate Republican, a super colleague. But it goes back and forth. When I first became chief, I think there was one or two Democrats and the rest were Republican. But you see how much it's changed because it goes back and forth, and that will continue to change.
Once it's all settled down and you're all together working, do you really think that some are thinking Republican, some are thinking
No,
Democrat?
I think some of us are more liberal. I've always been fairly liberal in my views, and some are more conservative, but not in a political sense, more in a philosophical sense. I would say probably 95% of our cases, it makes absolutely no difference. So we're talking about a small number of cases where your views might make you lean one way or another way.
Yeah, the environment,
But
what
then you've
different?
got law, you have precedent. We have to follow precedent. We can't make up law. So we're bound by precedent. We can be overruled by the Supreme Court. But it's a very intellectually exciting process to me. I think the federal court system is great.
I think it'd be interesting to study. You said you considered yourself liberal and some are conservative. What leads to someone becoming liberal or becoming a conservative
Oh,
thinker?
part of where you grow up, my father was very liberal. Michigan was very much a Democratic state, very labor-oriented when I grew up there. Actually, my father's father was a lawyer and a judge. I didn't know much about that because he was fairly old when I knew him. But after my father died, it's a pretty fascinating story. After my father died, I found papers of his, and I discovered that my grandfather, who was a Republican when I knew him, ran for city council in 1917, ran for the Battle Creek City Council as a socialist. There you go.
Yeah, and we had the fear of socialism,
Oh, yeah, we did.
didn't
But by the time I knew him, he was a Republican. So.
we? Your first days when you have your nomination and you are now on the 10th Circuit, what did you have to do? Let's just start at the beginning. Hire
When it,
staff or what?
oh, yes, I had to hire staff. I had a secretary and two law clerks. That was the first thing you do. But I was confirmed August 31st, I think. And I immediately sat on the November term of court. It was wild. So I had a couple of weeks to read the briefs. I can't remember. I think I just sat one day, but there was an en banc. This is also a funny story. There was an en banc. So I had 6 cases to read the briefs in and in the en banc.
I got to ask you, what does that mean?
Our cases are decided by a panel of 3 of our judges. And the losing party can file a petition for rehearing en banc, saying this is a very significant question. Your case conflicts with cases in other circuits, or the circuits are split. So they're asking the entire court, all of the judges, all the active judges. There were 8 when I started, then we went to 10, now we're 12. They're petitioning that group body to hear the case en banc, all of the judges. Those judges are polled, though you have a polling, and they vote on whether to take it up en banc. So there was a case that was en banc to be heard the second day I was going to sit. I think I sat on Monday. I woke up that morning throwing up. I was sicker than a dog. And I thought, oh my God, they're all going to think I'm afraid to show up. But when I called home, the kids were throwing up. So I didn't sit on the en banc. That was part of my first experience. But it was a lot of work. there were some cases, Supreme Court cases that came down, I don't remember what, that caused a lot of pro se people to file cases in the 80s. And we were getting tons of those. And the caseload in the 80s was increasing 16% a year. So our caseload was going up like crazy. And it got to be a big workload preparing for court, you know, writing the cases. Three judges hear argument on the panel, and then after argument, we vote on the cases. We talk about how we think they should come out. And the chief of the panel is the most senior active judge on the panel of three. That person decides which among the three are going to write the case for the panel. That's how the opinions get written. And you send out a draft to just those three judges, and somebody might dissent. If they're going to dissent, they let you know, and they write a dissent. You go back and forth. And then the opinion goes out and gets published. Then the party who loses can file a petition for a hearing en banc, or they can file a petition for certiorari to the Supreme Court if they think they have a case.
We've given plenty of rights, haven't
yes.
we?
Yes, yes.
Our Constitution mm-hmm. from the beginning sought that.
Yes, that's one thing great about our system.
Yeah.
It's a very fair process.
My mind is jumping to the jailhouse lawyers. They keep looking for ways to have an appeal. Did you deal with that?
Of course. And my husband does criminal law.
Okay.
So if you want to refer to criminal lawyers as jailhouse lawyers, you can. There's all kinds of lawyers. He happens to be very smart.
Well, I was thinking about the criminals who are in jail.
Oh, the pro se.
They're known as jailhouse lawyers.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't talking about real lawyers.
Okay. Yes, they can file pro se.
And they all of a sudden think they're lawyers.
Well, they have access to law books. Some of them are pretty good.
They're pretty good, you say?
Some of them are smart and use the access they have to law books.
But when they
most of them are just silly.
But they don't come to you.
They don't. That's pro se. And if it comes to our level, usually a lawyer will be appointed to represent them. But they can file, like I said, prisoner pro se petitions. They sit in jail and file stuff, and you have to deal with that. They don't have a lawyer.
You have to get up to speed on many, many different issues.
Yes, we do, which is why this job is fascinating, because we have so many different issues. I like that.